This week on Full Credit to the Boys, we review round 24 of the NRL. The Bulldogs kicking game reaches new heights, and the Australian Olympic team uses Chumpy Pullen as inspiration in Rio. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys.
The wibble wobble wibble wobble jelly on a plate.
Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast. I am former legend at former_legend. Across from me in a lovely watermelon shirt is at Sid Punts, all one word. Missing in action is at Normie Dorrell, who cares. And across from us, fresh out of Stiletto's car park, is at Late Mailman, all one word. Welcome back, mate.
All I can say is, who tipped you off about my whereabouts? What's going on?
Buzz Roth, allegedly.
Ah, that's the buzz.
How are you, mate?
Oh, I'm very well. Hey, guys, listen, thanks for having me back. It's almost as if I'm like Robbie Farah, who's been called on for round 26 because everyone else has fallen over. Well, I'm back, baby.
If word's correct, you're a better bloke than Robbie Farah.
Yep.
Boys, I want to start this week, and we'll just touch on a little bit of housework. A woman has won a court injunction against her husband to stop spending money at the strippers after going on a $177,000 bender over 4 months. Dipping into their savings and their superannuation. Now, Sid, I'm going to ask you straight up.
Go ahead.
How are things at home with Mrs. Sid?
Well, they've been a bit frosty since she's seen my credit card statement.
And just one more question on this, Sid.
Yeah.
What do you get at the strippers for 177 grand?
Fair dinkum, you'd want the whole joint, right?
Mate, surely you're allowed to touch at 177 grand.
I go to Tempe strippers, allegedly. They don't cost anything near that.
Now, listen, boys. If I was going to put a gold medal from the Olympics on eBay, what do you reckon I'd get for it?
Well, I saw this on the running sheet, and I actually looked up eBay today.
Mm.
You can buy replicas on eBay for $29.99.
No, I'm talking about the real deal.
Well, this is with free shipping, and Kitty Chiller has ordered 20, so we finish above the UK, allegedly.
Well,
I'm thinking if it was Ryan Lochte's gold, I reckon it'd be worth 5 cents in a package. To be honest,
I like the cut of his jib from Fair Dinkum.
Yeah, me too. I was a bit angry to start with, but now I like him.
Well, because I've done a bit of maths here, and at current rate, each gold medal from our swim team has cost the Australian taxpayer $13 million each.
Wow!
And now, there's been some within Swimming Australia have now come out and said, well, we've had too much pressure put on us by the public and the media. So how about this for Tokyo? We don't mention the swim team. We don't televise their stupid Olympic trials snore fest. We steer clear of their dud product endorsements, including all that shit vitamins they run around with from Swiss. We don't photo them in their shitty Olympic costumes. Yep. We don't mention their world records leading up to the games and why we should think that they might win a couple of gold medals. And that should take the heat right off them. But I just want to do one more thing.
Go on.
Why don't we take the $40 million in taxpayers' funding and, I don't know, build a hospital or something?
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, so there you go.
$13 million a medal.
That $40 million was just the swimmers.
Yeah.
Did you guys know this?
Yeah, the swimmers.
$40 million just the swimmers. Hockey was like $30 million. There was some sports I haven't even heard of that were $12 million. Like, come on, if you're paying money for something, you need to have heard of it, right?
Yeah. I want. How much did ping pong get?
That's a good question. How much are those covers on the bats? I had an answer there,
but in the interest of broadcast ethics, which I once used to abide by, I thought that I would just hold back on it.
Well, no, listen, you're filling in normie space, so just go say whatever you want.
All that's gone out the window this year.
This is true. That's the beauty of a podcast, right?
Yes.
What laws do we fall under anyway?
Let's not look into it.
Let's hit this.
Ignorance is bliss.
Now, I've heard that this theme, guys.
Yeah.
Where'd you hear it at?
This isn't the one that we mortgaged the that mortgaged the property to buy last year.
No, Clive took that.
Yeah. Have you heard from that guy, by the way?
Or that chick? No, not since the operation.
Last I heard, he was in a he was at a service station in Rio de Janeiro.
Kicking indoor. We'll get to that later. Now, listen, round 24 of the NRL kicked off on Thursday night, and the Broncos beat an inept Bulldogs side at the urinal 20 points to 10 in a game whose highlight was a low light. Really, the biggest talking point was Sam Cassiano's kick to the face of Corey Parker. Although, let's be honest, who hasn't secretly dreamed of kicking Corey Parker in the face? What do we make of it, boys? And by the way, there's a footnote.
It was
a footnote to this. He's copped a 2-week ban after that.
Yeah, a 2-week ban after they looked at it about, well, because I was watching live, they looked at it about 4 or 5 times, didn't deem it to have been with any intent, didn't even give a penalty, Bulldogs ball. So he kicked him in the face and they get the ball. Happy days.
And what happened to, wasn't it Brown from South earlier in the year? He did a better one than that and got nothing for it, didn't he?
Cam Smith did a better one on Isaac Luke. He kicked him about 6 times. And they were like, no, sweet, just trying to get up.
Whoa,
Cameron Smith, so Cameron that's Smith. Why.
That's Cameron Smith.
Cameron Smith ruled on it himself. That Nathan Brown, he's a grub as well.
I like him.
Oh, me too. Absolutely. But what was disappointing with me, what disappointed me was the way Corey Parker, the sook, carried on. Cassiano apparently apologised and said it was an accident. And Corey said, oh, you apologised, so what? But then I looked at the footage again today and Cassiano went and shook his hand after the game and said, you're still crying about that. So it wasn't really, didn't really look like an apology.
You know what else? He was, Corey was saying, oh, you know, it's all well and good, he apologised, but look at me, my face cut open, which I read between the lines, and it was like, look at my face, my beautiful, beautiful face.
Yeah, he was the only one thinking that, including his missus, I've got to be honest. Now, I've said it all year, boys, the Bulldogs are clueless in attack, especially when they get in the opposition red zone. And they're standing on their table flat as them, especially when you look at the big picture of the NRL. Now, on Friday night, we were told that we'd get a gauge on where the Dogs are at in 2016. After watching that game on Friday night, they're nowhere. They had a 66% completion rate, and if you're looking for some scapegoats, can I give you a couple of names? Rona, Morris, and Hopewadi. They were all shocking.
Well, they won't have to worry about Rona.
You say Morris. Do you say Morai? Are you saying both?
Yeah, both.
Or is it one particular?
Yeah, very not of their standard anyway. I know they'd both be disappointed in their game the other night, but they're a long way off at the Bulldogs. They won't worry anyone come September and definitely won't worry anyone in October, maybe a couple of
Barmen. I think you're spot on.
Barmen. Now, look, saying on that, on the flip side, the Broncos have now won 2 on the trot, but I'm not sure they were actually that convincing either, Hoodie. Milford was solid, but Ben Hunt is a long way off last year's form.
He is a long way off last year's form, but, like you say, he showed glimpses, and I reckon he could almost be back. I don't profess to be any sort of crystal ball expert or anything like that, but well, it will happen. You watch. He's going to fire in the next 2 weeks.
Gamble responsibly. Listen, we go to Friday night. The Panthers pretty much wiped the West Tigers at the foot of the mountains, winning 40 points to 10. The Tigers look like they were beaten from the time they ran onto the field. They spent the whole week telling us that they're going to go good without Teddy and everything else. As soon as they ran on, I thought, nah, they're going no good. And
yep.
They conceded some real soft tries early and generally looked mentally gone.
Yeah, well, I shan't be playing Eye of the Tiger theme behind this wrap-up today. It was very disappointing. They didn't turn up. They seemed flat from the start. Mitch Moses still played well. He can't kick goals.
No.
But it didn't really matter because we couldn't score tries. And in the second half, I turned it off. I watched How to Look Good Naked, which which isn't what I thought it was going to be.
That and World's Most Embarrassing Bodies.
Yeah, very disappointing.
You know what? Speaking of World's Most Embarrassing Bodies, I was out in the country the other day and I was thinking of you, Sid, because I was driving past this
cow.
It was this dead, lifeless thing on the side of the road, and I thought, That's a scarecrow. He just looked so defeated. And yeah. I thought, oh, that is a long 2016.
Yes.
Yeah, you're not wrong, mate.
It's not just a clever
and
name.
By the way, can I just say, because this is the first time that I've really sort of jumped back on with you guys. It's the scarecrow is possibly the greatest analogy I've ever heard. I mean, you can call Minicello the Count. You can call Minicello the Count. You know, there's all those great ones, and you're like, that's spot on. But there's never been one more spot on than the scarecrow.
We get off the Tigers.
Can we just mention that right. The Tigers are still mathematically a chance?
Oh, you told me last week.
I hate that phrase, but I'm going to have to use it for the next 2 weeks.
Well, 1 week.
We've got the Warriors away and the Raiders at home.
You know what? Just before we move on, has a team that's ever been a mathematical chance ever actually realised that mathematical chance? I'll put that to you.
That's a fair point.
Yep, and we are a mathematical chance.
Another Penrith game, boys, and another Nathan Cleary masterclass. This time his kicking game destroyed us. Oh, those spiral bastard bombs that he kept kicking in for Jordan Rankin have him waking up in cold sweats for a little while.
Poor old Rankin. Rank by name. Rank by nature. It's tough filling in for Teddy, but geez.
Yeah, he looked spooked. He's, under those things.
Didn't he?
Bryce Cartwright, boys. If we get off Cleary just for a moment, he seems to be some kind of linchpin for the Panthers, because every time I've seen him play well and or partly go on the way to dominating, it seems as though the Panthers win the game. What do you reckon?
Look, I was hearing Peter Wallace talking about him the other day, and it just seems like, because everyone's reservation about Cartwright seems to be that he's brilliant. At his best, he's brilliant, but he's got these errors that he can't get out of his game. Mm. And it seems like they've just made their peace with him, and that's just what it is. They just say, Bryce Cartwright, he'll win us a game. He'll do something stupid twice a game, but whatever, that's just what we'll deal with. And Peter Wallace said that almost in as many words. So that's just what he is to them. He's a game breaker, and they'll just take what he gets.
That used to be the Benji Marshall defence.
Yeah.
He's going to win us a game, but he's also going to throw the ball to the side. Yes.
We'll get to that in a minute.
I'm sure we will.
One last thing on this game. Now that the season is done, should the Scarecrow recall Robbie Farah for the last two games?
I say no. What benefit is it going to be? Is that the Scarecrow saying, you know what, I'm not pushing us forward? Like, he's still got a contract next year. If we bring him back for the last game, we bring him back for 26 rounds next year. He's gone. I'd like to see the NRL give us...
You know what? It might prevent a David Fa'alongo-style Mad Monday. That could be one good thing.
That's if Robbie can fight.
Well, I'd like, if we lose next week, I'd like the NRL to let us play Little, the up-and-coming hooker, which I believe with second-tier cap, which is what happened with Brooks. They allowed him to play when we were yet again out of finals contention.
Mathematically.
Yeah. Well, still mathematically this week, but if we lose this week, I'd like to see Liddell play.
All right, we head to Saturday, Super Saturday, and the Knights made the Titans work hard at Marathon Sex Stadium before the Gold Coast boys won 26-6. It was really a boys' game that never hit any heights. The Tigers never looked in danger, and the Knights never looked like threatening.
Yeah, I find it very hard to be excited about the Knights at the moment. I mean, that's just saying the sky is blue, right?
Yeah.
Knights-Titans. Yeah, I've got to be honest, guys, in the interest of research for the show, didn't watch the game.
Well, honorary West Tiger, Ryan James, scored two tries, and you could hear the cheers from Leichhardt in Newcastle, Sid. I know you went up when you seen Ryan score a couple.
Ryan dog shot James. Is that the one we're talking about? First try scorer. He shouldn't have even been playing for the disgraceful hit on Tedesco.
He flogs Tedesco, gets a week, then doesn't get a week, then scores two tries, and his team wins. I would say it's called a slap in the face, but that, yeah.
Well, on that trajectory, he'll be an immortal by Sunday afternoon, I reckon.
All the tries in this game came from forwards. Not sure if you noticed that. I am the stats man around here.
Forwards or forward passes?
Well, They look good, the Titans. I don't know. They're 3 points now ahead of the Warriors and the Tigers.
Probably the last point in this game, Jarrod Hayne made a huge impact in this game, mainly to Daniel Safiti's hip when a mistimed tackle went badly. Hayne was very quiet, boys. Does he got to go back to fullback this week with Tyrone Roberts back?
Why not? What have you got to lose? They're not going to suffer from it, are they?
I reckon roll the dice. If I'm the Titans, I'm putting every egg into the one basket that I can get hold of. Who cares? You're at a point now where no one expects you to be in semi-finals contention. Keep rolling. Keep just trying stuff.
Does that mean you play Jarrod Hayne 1-17, do you?
You mean he hasn't been already? I don't know whether you watched the Fox cam.
Touche.
The Seagulls and the Storm made tackling optional at Hansy Cronje Oval with Bellamy's men rolling out 38 points to 18 winners. A cracking game, I've got to tell you. Suliasi Vainavulu scored four tries before half time and equaled Israel Folau's club record of 21 tries in a rookie season, boys. Hoodie, it's the first time a player has scored four in a half since 2012. Do you know who that player was?
Can you repeat the question, please, sir?
Okay. It's the first time a player has scored four tries in a half since 2012. Do you know who that might have been from? I'll give you
Would
a
it
hint.
Have been David Williams?
Bang! I was going to give you a hint with...
I reckon that was against Parramatta.
And I believe Eddie Haston was on for a mint that day. So good Cooper Cronk turned on another clinic, completely dominating this game, boys. I've got to ask you, Hoodie, if Cooper Cronk goes on that game, kicks, his kicking was a standout, his passing was a standout, and DCE is worth $1 million a year, what's Cooper Cronk worth?
Oh, I'm going to be very rough with this estimate, but probably like trillion?
Yeah.
I think he's worth more than the Australian swimming squad.
So more than 40 mil.
Yep.
All right, we head to the last game on Super Saturday, and the Cowboys dominated the Warriors at the Barry Beef Stadium, winning 34 points to 6. Boys, the surgical skills in Jonathan Thurston's kicking game were on display once again. He cut the Warriors to shreds with repeat set after repeat set. The Cowboys, unsurprisingly, lead the league in forced dropouts. Who do you reckon that belongs to? Who helps that stat along?
Yeah. It just goes to show, isn't it, that the Cowboys had a couple of lean weeks and everyone started to say, oh, has everyone got Jonathan Thurston's measure?
No.
Maybe that's the end of Jonathan Thurston. Jeez, we move quick in rugby league, don't we?
Listen, the other point out of this game was the tackling machine that is Simon Mannering. 69 tackles, and with 10 to go, boys, I was watching him closely. He was dead set out on his feet. To put this into perspective, 69 tackles from Mannering, the most tackles from any of the other Cowboys was by Ethan Lowe with 28.
Yeah. Wow. 69 tackles in a losing side, you'd feel pretty ripped off, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But then in saying that, Nathan Hindmarsh did it for 15 years. So. Yeah.
How many of Mannering's were just flops?
Well, as many
as Hindmarsh.
Yeah, I was going to say, not as many as Hindmarsh, but anyway. On Sunday and Ricky's Raiders took a while to warm up before going past the Eels at Geelong Cold Stadium to win 28 points to 18. The Eels kicked out to an 18-0 and then an 18-6 lead at half time, and then they never scored another point. It's no doubt a product of currently being a patchwork quilt lineup. But even though they're down on troops, Hoodie, they're giving a good account of themselves.
Yeah, and I think that all comes down to Brad Arthur. From what I understand, and I've been asking anyone who has anything to sort of, you know, anything credible to put in about it. And I asked a former Australian captain earlier today whether this season of man management might define Brad Arthur in years to come. And he said no. And I said, well, what do you know? And then he said, no, actually, it's going to be next year. That is what's going to define Brad Arthur, is how he turns this team
around
into next season.
Mm.
Well, on the Raiders, I haven't liked the Raiders all year. I've made no secret of that. Mostly due to my hope that Ricky Stewart would fall on his ass again. But they have a good big squad and they're going to finish top four. They have to be congratulated. They had a big crowd out there at Geelong Cold Stadium.
Yep.
And as the old rugby league adage goes, when Canberra are going well, rugby league's going well.
I've never heard that before.
No, I don't think anyone's ever said that before. But
I think it's
well.
Pretty much whenever insert team is going well, rugby league is going well. It's just whatever happens that week that, you know, that is relevant to the story.
Whenever the West Indies are going well, rugby league is going well. I don't know. Viv.
Sorry. Yeah, I just had an image come across my mind. It was large and aggressive, and
there was two of them.
Yeah, it had a poison pen.
Anyway, we'll move on from that.
Let's move on.
I believe, Sid, but with Ricky securing a top four spot, you've got a big announcement you've heard today.
I do. I just got told today that Ricky Stewart will sign an extension on his contract to the end of the 2147 season.
Wow.
Yep.
That is great news. Yeah.
I'm not sure how old he'll be.
Well deserved. They'll just wheel him out. Weekend at Bernie style and
yep.
Sit him down on the sideline like he wants to sit.
Just have his head in a jar.
I reckon when rigor mortis kicks in with Rick, he'll still have a vein bulging out of his forehead.
Not only that, what do you reckon the look on his head will be? Are you reckon it'll be a big happy grin or, you know, get Joel Cain on the line. I think that's paying about 1 million to 1. Now listen, with their season on the line, Sid.
Yep.
The Dragons smashed Cellar Dwellers, the Roosters at Coogee Bay Oval, winning 42-6. What a
No. The Roosters won. They smashed the Dragons.
Well, hang on.
Yeah.
The Roosters had nothing to play for. The Dragons were playing for their season.
Yep. I can see how you could get this mixed up, but no, the Roosters won.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they smashed them. Oh, it was on the back of Benji Marshall's fine performance. He's been rewarded with 2 weeks in reserve grade and no contract extension.
What a time to be alive if you're a Dragons fan. Wow. So the Dragons beat the Sharks and then they smashed the Roosters.
They got smashed by the Roosters.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. I know it's hard to believe, but DJ and Goose tweeted me. She's on the cans. She's celebrating.
So they give you a little bit of hope.
Season's over.
Before they get wiped like a dirty ass. Is that what
you're
telling me?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah. All right.
Listen, horrible.
I'm with Luke Keary on his way to Coogee and Ryan Madison and Mitchell Pearce in decent form, do the Roosters begin 2017 with a problem of having one too many halves, Woody?
I actually heard today that, well, Mitchell Pearce came out and I think he'd had a couple of beers because he said that, what's his name? Connor.
How sexy does Connor, that dog look?
help me out. What's his name? Connor?
McGregor. No.
Connor McGregor. Connor McGregor that plays in the halves for the Roosters. Yeah, Connor McGregor.
Won the UFC too. Great effort.
Luke Keary's going to have a trouble breaking into those halves.
Yeah. Interesting problem. And I think they've got the same problem at the number one position too, the Roosters. They've got a couple there that can fill the void too. So you've got Flash Gordon going there. You've got Latrell Sprewell and you've got Fingus Ferguson all there. So that'll be interesting. So the one and the six and the seven, they seem like they're overpopulated.
Well, yeah, Robinson's come out today and said that Ferguson is not a long-term number one, which kind of eases the pressure by one. But I reckon surely they're going to have to do a Michael Gordon number one, Latrell Mitchell number two, and do a bit of a bridging thing like they did with Minicello and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Mm. That to me is because, I mean, Gordon's got what, like a couple of years left in him, something like that?
Those plans go one of two ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'm not a massive fan of doing that, but anyway, we'll see how that all works out. Now, listen, on this, is Benji done, boys? Mark Gasnier came out and said straight after the game that Mary should drop him immediately and experiment with some young blokes in preparation for next year. And news from today is that he's done exactly that and they've dropped him from first grade. Is that it for Benji?
Yeah, I think so. You think around at the moment, and we were just speaking about too many halves, how many clubs actually like really genuinely need a half at the moment and add to that a 31, 32-year-old half? Like, there's not – I mean, Parramatta are – apparently got well-publicised half-seeking issues.
Mm. See,
I don't see that happening. I think there's a couple of options for Benji. One, England. Two, retire.
He's knocked back England already. He knocked it back today.
So I think Benji is not a halfback. Without a halfback in the team, Benji falters, I reckon. Benji's like the SKPs without a bass player. No good.
I heard they improved, but anyway.
Benji's like Ian Baker Finch then. He was good. Yeah, he's forgotten how to play.
He's a good
commentator.
Now
he's going to be a commentator. But I think his only option next year is Oatley Rugby, third grade.
Nah, Junior Paulo said no, he's not strong enough.
No.
Let me ask you this, Cordy, and I've put this to the boys earlier this year. I think a fit down in Melbourne might be the go for him. He'll have a dominant half down there in Cronk, and he can just be, if he plays within himself instead of trying to own the team, he still might have a year or two left in him.
You know, I was actually thinking about this very thing the other day, and I thought, it was actually early today, I should say. It seems like a place where you go to reinvent yourself as a footballer, right?
Mm.
So that would be, yeah. I mean, who's number six there at the moment? Blake Green.
And he's heading talk off.
Talk of him off to Manly.
Yeah.
I guess that's a possibility. Why not?
I don't know whether Bellamy's interested in him, but I would have thought that was really the only option left.
But do you think he could play a backseat to someone like Cronk?
I think if faced the reality of
I mean, there's
that,
a bit of a beggar's choosers situation going on, I guess.
Yeah. Exactly. Reality of that or nothing, I think Benji would take that. I don't know how it fits in with his Fox Sports commitments, and that's what he's trying to nurture at the same time. He could always go to rugby. Oh, no, he can't.
No, he
that,
can't.
That
he
didn't work there. Last time. Yeah.
I heard he's a big Pies fan, so Melbourne could go well.
He must be filthy. He knocked back that $300,000 when they offered it to him, and he laughed at them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's laughing now, Benji?
I'll get more than that.
$300,000 and a sizzler all you can eat each week.
All the cheesy bread you can have.
Monday night, and the Rabbitohs sent Harold Holt back out into the Pacific Ocean, beating the Sharks at Nana Glen Oval, 12-6. South's late season form, Hoodie, reminds me of a bloke that turns up to a party sober at 1 a.m. with a six-pack of beer under his arm. Too little, too late, and has everyone asking, where's he been earlier?
I did that the other day. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah,
everyone's just on a different level, and you just go, oh, I hate you all. Why am I even friends with you?
Well, that's where South are at the moment, looking for friends. They're friendless. And their fans got to be asking, where's this been, honestly?
Yeah, but the Sharks...
I would say, where have their fans been?
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Did you see the vision last night? You'd see a player running a ball out from his in-goal. There wasn't a single man behind him.
Yep.
Yeah, well, so they have got something in common with the Roosters. That's good, you know. Everyone says that there's nothing those two aren't alike.
Do we have that choke sound that we played at the intro last week?
No, we're waiting for that for next week when Normie comes back. We can play that as his intro.
Dead set. They looked awful. That right-hand side attack from the Sharkies was worked out by the Rabbitohs, but they persisted every time, and they were just woeful.
Well, funny you say that. Shane Flanagan was happy with the Sharks' efforts after the game, saying, and I quote, "We tried really hard. We defended pretty well to only concede one try in the first half and one really late there when the game was all over." Well, I get that, but he's trying to downplay any state of panic and everything else, and I understand that as well. But really, this was a loss against a team that's running 13th and didn't have their halfback for 55 minutes.
Well, he came out again today and he said, look, we should be happy. We're going to finish probably second or third. We're going to play finals. You've just lost three in a row and had a draw before that. It shouldn't be all rosy and, oh, no, everything's fine. Everything's not fine. I thought they looked horrible.
Well, Hoodie, I'll ask you this.
It's a bit of a company line, though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And, well, company line, yeah. And the other thing he did say was, on a wet track, we are beatable. Well, he's hoping it doesn't rain in September, or otherwise they've got a ready-made excuse in their front pocket as they walk out onto the field for the first time.
Let's hope it does rain.
I hope it pours like Noah's building an ark. Is that who built the ark? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The last three losses, Hoodie, for the Sharks have been without Ennis for one game and Gallen for two, and many citing that as the reason for some losses. Makes you wonder how they got through Origin with all those wins, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. I hear a lot about Gallen's importance to the team and all that sort of stuff. I think if you delve deep into the stats. It's not so much the case. Maybe more so this season than others, but I feel like they've got – they should anyway have enough talent across the park this season to account for either Ennis and or Gallen missing.
Yeah. I think they're in a very small window of opportunity there, and if they don't do it this year, no Ennis next year, they might be in some trouble. One last thing out of this, the loss almost certainly looks certain, sorry, to hand the JJ Gillotin shield to the Storm. And it's a tremendous effort, I've got to say, considering the early season tips has had them running nowhere.
Yep.
Sid, Normie, congratulations to Melbourne.
Yeah. We picked that. This might be the first JJ Giltinan shield they win legitimately.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Well, it could be.
The others have been taken off them.
All right. We head out of the round 24 review and we look into other NRL news this week. The fastest man over 20 metres running backwards, Dragon skipper Ben Cray, is set to retire at season's end. What's he going to be remembered for, Hoodie?
Actually, I don't know. I don't know is the answer to that. And another thing, I totally know. It has something to do with Origin and...
Justin Hodges.
Yeah, that's right. But listen, I saw a tweet the other day. As soon as he announced his retirement, quick as a flash, it was really quite a pertinent tweet, I thought. It said, wait a second, is Ben Cray still a thing?
Yeah, geez. They're very cruel on Twitter. I don't know where they get that from. I can't cop it myself. James Roberts' troubled NRL career is in jeopardy after another alleged drunken incident since last show that we did. The Bronco Centre was removed from the Normanby Hotel in Brisbane. I can add to this. If rumours are correct, he had quite a year last year on the Gold Coast as well. That's all I'll say.
Hmm.
Quite a year.
Yes.
I don't see why players go to the Gold Coast when they've left a club in disgrace. What a stupid idea.
I just thought this was left over from last week's running sheet.
Or last year's. Josh Jackson signs on for the Bulldogs until 2020. Luke Lewis signs on for one more year at Cronulla. Since last week, Ryan James appeals his one-week suspension for breaking Teddy Tedesco's jaw. Gets it downgraded and doesn't miss a game.
That was dog shot.
Boys, a couple of rumours we'll finish the NRL news on. Kieran Foran, rumour has him signing a year at the Warriors. You heard anything, Hoodie? True? Not true?
No, to be honest, I haven't heard anything solid, only probably what you guys have heard. And likewise, you've probably heard this too, that a lot of people have suggested the Dogs would be a good fit for him. I don't know with this one. I just feel like everyone needs to step back from him for a while. He needs to step back from everything else, including the tab, and we just let the dust settle a bit.
Yeah, I agree on that totally. Dragons sensation. According to the rumours, Luciano Leilua. He's going to go to the Dogs, if my mail is correct.
Well, I don't know why anyone would leave the Dragons at the moment. That can't be true.
And finally, in rumours, Hoodie, I don't know whether you've heard anything about this. My mail is there will be an announcement about Buzz Rothfield within the next 7 to 14 days. That's all I'll say.
That sounds ominous, doesn't it?
That's all I'll say on that.
7 to 14 days. I can't wait that long.
I'll tell you after the show about what I've heard.
Okay.
All right. We head out of NRL and we head into the show's highlight. I know something that Normie hangs around for every week gets him coming back, and that's the AFL. And we begin with the Swans' hard-fought win in Hobart to beat the Kangaroos by 9 points, definitely helping them secure their way to the minor premiership. GWS Giants absolutely hammered Fremantle by 92 points.
That's a good contest, 92 points.
Hoodie, a question without notice. This general buy thing that the AFL are doing 1 week before the semis, is that one of the most mystifying decisions by any sports organisation you've ever heard?
Question without notice for you guys. Why does Normie hate AFL so much?
Yeah, I'm tipping he's been bashed by someone that's played AFL in his time.
Did he have a melee?
Maybe someone like Hayden Ballantyne.
So someone's jumper punched him or something. He hasn't taken well to it.
Shirt fronted him.
I mean, he is a winger, so you wouldn't have seen many angry men in his life standing out there next to touch judges.
In answer to your original question, I don't know about this week off thing. I think a proof will be in the pudding or whatever the expression is. Proof will be in the pie. Proof will be in something else. It starts with P. What is it?
Pies.
What is this about? Everyone's having a week off before the semis.
A week before the first week of the semis.
That's madness.
Yeah. So I think Buzz Rothfield will call that a free kick for NRL.
That was the one week I was going to go watch an AFL game. Spewing. I'm actually going to the Swans this week at the SCG.
There you go.
If anyone's out in the members.
Oh, you're going to pop your collar. You're going to pop your collar, Sid.
Certainly am. Full strength beer in the members.
And if anyone's
fellow Silver Spooner here,
anyone that's listening out there that will be there, make an orderly queue behind Sid as he signs autographs.
Yes.
Sid, we head into your speciality here. Sign. All right, the Jack Sock Update, the only podcast in Australia with a weekly Jack Sock Update. And Sid, we head to you, our Jack Sock correspondent. What's the week of Sock?
Well, it's not so much this week what Sock did, because we all know he won a gold medal. But this week, it's all about what Sock didn't do.
What didn't Sock do?
What he didn't do at the Olympics is he didn't do a Ryan Lochte and fake an armed hold-up. He didn't do a Hope Solo and complain about the Zika virus. He didn't disobey Kitty Chiller's curfew. He didn't forge tickets to see the Boomers. He didn't do what that French walking guy did and shit himself.
What about that?
Did you see that guy?
Pooped his pants.
Yep. Not our Sock. Our Sock was a champion at the Olympics. He is a champion. He won a gold and a bronze, which equaled the nations of the Bahamas.
Yes.
The politically correct team, the independent Olympic team.
Mm.
Do you know who they are?
Yeah, they're the refugees of all the other nations.
Yeah, they're the team nobody wants to play with. They're like the Buzz Rothfields of the Olympics. The Ivory Coast.
Mm.
He matched the Ivory Coast and he beat countries, heaps of countries, like Egypt and the Philippines. So basically, the Sock was an Olympic and is an Olympic champion.
Now, Hoodie, I understand that you've got to head back to working the door at Stilettos, but before you go, have you got anything for us? A bit of juice, a bit of a rumour, anything? Give us something.
You know what? I do, actually. Right.
Do we have to beep any of this out?
Yeah, we are. There's going to have to. I should have probably thought of how I'm going to deliver this before I said it. I'll leave this one up to you guys.
All right.
Yeah, I'll just leave it all in.
A former Australian
player.
Yep.
It's not. Let's narrow it down too much.
I don't want to be up all night editing.
About him and a former teammate of his and a suggested rumour.
Oh, yeah, where he showed his appreciation for his go forward for the entire season that led them to the Premiership.
Yeah, so how did that end up?
Oh, yeah, that was he took in his mouth.
Wow.
Just stood there and just sipped on his beer.
As you want to do, I guess.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Get back to the door at Stilettos, mate. It's been good to see you. We will talk again before the grand final.
I better go on that note. I've got to get to a back alley.
we'll talk to you before grand final, mate.
Sounds good.
All right, buddy. Take it easy, eh?
Thank you.
Well, there you go, Sid. We thank Late Mailman for joining us for a quarter of the show. And now we head off into the Rio five-ring circus that was the Olympics.
We can call it the Olympics now.
I don't care anymore. No. Listen, we can't be any more disappointing than Australia, but we'll get on to that. First of all, can I just start with a bit of a wrap-up? And after winning gold in the 100 metres, the 200 metres and the relay running race, Usain Bolt has declared himself as an immortal. Now,
as an
Sid,
immortal.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Has he asked Bozo Fulton or Joey Johns whether that's the right thing to call himself? I mean, I thought Rugby League Week voted on this, not just you didn't self-appoint.
Well, Usain Bolt and Joey Johns have officially never failed a drug test.
Not officially.
Officially.
Bozo probably fail a Viagra test these days, I reckon.
Viagra?
Now, listen.
Viagra.
Let's talk about the Australian flops, the dick flops.
Jeez, how long is this going to take?
Well, we'll get into Grab a Mirror later because apparently that is the topic of everyone's Grab a Mirrors this week. But
yep.
Just on a quick rundown, we have run 10th, Sid.
10th, yeah.
Behind such powerhouses as Italy,
mm-hmm.
France, and South Korea. Mm-hmm. I mean, Christ, Sid, we got beaten by Russia, who weren't allowed to send 50% of their team.
Did we get beaten by Russia?
Yeah, we got beaten by Russia.
Wow.
They didn't send half their team. They had the friendship games, whatever, the drug-taking games.
Did they top the medal count there?
I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah, good on
just
them.
Just in front of the Sharks. 10th place we ran out of 207 competing nations in Rio. That was Australia's lowest finish on an Olympics medal table since Barcelona.
Yep.
We could have had more gold, Sid, I've got to remind you.
If we should have had more gold.
If Kitty Chiller didn't piss Nick Kyrgios off.
Yeah, true, true. That's going in the outtakes.
Is it time to apologise to the makers of Still Knox? We blame them after the London results.
Yeah.
We haven't improved on the London results. So to the people who make Still Knox, send your free samples to @careoffcttb_podcast. And as a nation, we apologise for blaming you for our poor London results.
Yeah.
All right. Let me get onto these couple of topics that happened during the last week or so. Swimmers Emma McKeon and a bloke who no one actually had heard of, including some of his teammates, Josh Palmer, were banned from the closing ceremony after a big night out by serial wet blanket killjoy and all-round walking human depressant, Kitty Chiller.
What a disgrace. This is un-Australian.
Chef de Michon.
Chef
Chiller.
De Michon.
Disciplined the swimmers while every athlete was handed a 2 a.m. curfew for the remainder of the games. But in good news, Sid,
a new
world record was set by Kitty herself. She surpassed John Fay's previous record from the Sydney Olympics, the amount of press conferences held at an Olympic Games. A new record is now set at 230 press conferences.
Is that a real statistic?
Well, it is actually, and it is said that much like the TV series Seinfeld, somewhere in the world right now there is a Kitty Chiller press conference being held. Now, further to this, Ryan Lochte, I mean, the new pinup boy of our show, I know.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, he was one of four swimmers who claimed to be robbed at gunpoint, Sid.
Yes.
A story he told his mum.
Yes.
Who told the media. Who told the cops. Who told everybody it was bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Lochte then went on to the US Today show and gave a real American hero story about what happened. He said, and I quote, "We got pulled over in our taxi and these guys came out with a badge, a police badge, no lights, no nothing, and just a police badge, and they pulled us over. They pulled out their guns and they told all the other swimmers to get down the ground, and they got down the ground, but I refused. I was like, we didn't do anything wrong, so I'm not getting down on the ground." And then the guy pulled out the gun, he cocked it, put it to my forehead and said, "Get down." And I put my hands up and I said, like, whatever. And he took our money, he took my wallet, he left my cell phone, but he left all our credentials. Can I just correct myself there, but
yeah.
He's not our pinup, he's a fuckwit, isn't he?
Yeah, he's an A-grade. Yeah. A-grade fool. Yeah,
he's, an
Olympic, he's a dick flop.
Olympic gold medalist in that sport, let me tell you. Now, since then, not only has Lochte had trouble staying true to his version of events, but recent reports also allege that the swimmers didn't just lie. They also destroyed a petrol station toilet, Sid. Now, as someone who's destroyed a couple of petrol station toilets on the piss in my time,
yes.
Mostly when drinking Tui's old and eating dodgy Indian, can I say, if that's a crime, lock me up now.
That's not a crime. Have you ever had those chicken hero rolls on your way home? As if you're not going to destroy a toilet after that.
I'm lucky to make the shit out of the servo after I eat one of those things.
But you don't explain yourself by claiming there's been some episode of Cops happen. You just say, yeah, I destroyed that toilet.
Yeah, I think this is a bloke. Anyway, we'll get to this later, but
okay.
let's head off into boxing. The sport of boxing at the Olympics went into turmoil when our actual hero, Irish boxer Michael Conlon, was furious after he lost a unanimous decision in the boxing quarterfinal against Russian
Vladimir Nikitin.
Say it again.
Vladimir Nikitin.
Do you know him?
Yeah, he's a Russian boxer.
Yeah, and he's got a head like a kicked-in shit tin after Conlon had his way with him. Those that have seen the fight have said that Conlon just smashed him from one end of the ring to the other.
Hang on a second.
What?
Are you telling me there's been a controversial decision in a boxing match?
Well, as Conlon said, I came for gold and I've been cheated. I'll not do another Olympics. I like how he's used that, I'll not do. I'll not do another Olympics. I would advise anyone not to compete for the AIBA, which is the Amateur International Boxing Association.
Yeah, I refuse to box with them.
You're getting punched in the ring in other places, aren't you? I've been robbed of my Olympic dream, he said. Obviously, Russia can't dope this time, so they're just paying the judges a lot more. He added. Big accusation. He then tweeted, of all blokes, Vladimir Putin. Noted comedian Vladimir Putin. Yep. Got a great sense of humor. And he wrote, hey, Vlad, how much did they charge you, bro? Obviously, you'd expect that we won't see Conlon ever again. He's going to be brown bread.
He's not been seen since. Vladimir Putin, he doesn't muck around.
Since then, the AIBA dropped an undisclosed number of officials from the Rio Olympics after, and I quote this, less than a handful of decisions, not the level expected. What does that actually mean, Sid?
Corruption. But obviously not from Vladimir Putin.
Now, Conlon then tweeted out, wow, this says a lot about the AIBA, sending judges home who ruined dreams. What happens to the people whose dreams were ruined?
What's this guy's name? Conlon?
Yeah. Michael
stop,
Conlon.
Stop sulking, mate. Stop sulking.
He's got some Corey Parker about
yeah,
him.
Yeah, hasn't he? Whatever, he apologised. Oh, they sacked him. Sulk.
All right, we'll head more to the Olympics later, but for now, let's listen to this. Jeopardy! You got the answer. What's the question, Jeopardy? All right, we're heading to full credit Jeopardy. The first time we've ever done it with just two men, real men.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to make a difference.
I think it'll be stronger if I'm honest.
We'll get an answer to answer three. He normally seems to always forget that one.
Now, I'm going to give you the answer for those playing at home. Sid, and actually me, will give you the question. I'm going to start with answer number one, kicking Corey Parker in the head. Sid, what was the question?
What does Mitch Moses have more chance of kicking than goals at the moment? He's not going well with the boot, old Mitch.
Answer number one was kicking Corey Parker in the head. And obviously the question was, what should get you extra votes in the Dally M medal?
Hear. Absolutely.
Answer number two, Sid, the Bledisloe Cup. That's the Bledisloe Cup. What's the question?
What is the only thing more boring than looking at Normie's holiday photos next week?
the answer was the Bledisloe Cup. The question was, what have even private schoolboy merchant bankers, which is rhyme and slang, given up hope of winning in the next 10 years?
Yeah. I reckon Ricky Stewart's contract will expire before we win the Bledisloe Cup.
Answer number three is Australia's next Olympic chef de mission.
I actually don't have anything for it. No, I've got something.
In the Doral tradition.
I'm a professional.
Answer number three was Australia's next Olympic chef de mission. What was the question?
What should Robert Allenby's next job title be? I reckon there'd be a party in Rio if Robert Allenby was in charge.
Well, this is awkward because my question was, who is Robert Allenby? Feel free to change that to Todd Carney. Who's more serial pests?
Corey Norman.
Answer number four was lying about being robbed at gunpoint. That's lying about being robbed at gunpoint. Sid, what's the question?
What did my wife catch me out doing last time I lost all my money at Tempe Strippers? I was robbed at gunpoint, I swear.
Answer number four was lying about being robbed at gunpoint. The question was, What is the saddest thing a 32-year-old gold medalist has to do when he rings his mum after an epic bender? And finally, Sid, in full credit jeopardy for this week, answer number five is a Kitty Chiller press conference. That's a Kitty Chiller press conference. What's the question?
By watching what do you realise how stupid Aussies really look and sound on TV?
The answer was a Kitty Chiller press conference. The question was, what is the sporting world's version of standing in the naughty corner?
A 2 a.m. curfew in Brazil. I've been to Brazil. Nothing happens before 2 a.m. Jeopardy! You've got the answer. What's the question,
Jeopardy? You've got the answer. What's the question? As we head out of Jeopardy, Sid, we head into the highlight of the week. We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. Make a change. Alright, grab a mirror time, and you can hashtag your grab a mirrors with hashtag grab a mirror, Sid. And we start with Ernie Oz, at Ernie Oz on Twitter, who wrote, grab a mirror, it's got to be Normie Dorrell for taking the Sharks mojo with him when he fled the country.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree, Gav. More power to Normie. The less mojo, the better, in my opinion. At Timmy McIntyre, who private messaged me today, and thanks for the dick shop, Timmy. He wrote, grab a mirror, the Queen of the Nile at Comedy One Edge next Tuesday, where I'll lose $100.
Yeah.
200 if you're a man, Timmy.
$100. Wake up, Timmy.
At Moz underscore Morris wrote, grab a mirror at Cronulla Sharks. Despite 50 years of failure, you still managed to find new ways to disappoint fans. And more power for that. Ernie Oz came back with another one. It's got to be Normie Dorrell. No, we've already done that. Gav, you only have to say it once, let's be honest. A new player to the creditor team at Chad Punters Club, who is, what's the bloke from Nickelback?
Yeah, Chad.
Chad, whatever his name is.
Is that him?
Some fan club or something. I didn't know there was one. But he wrote, grab a mirror, Jared Beale, the slowest, most useless Sharks winger since Luke Cavell. Hashtag grab a mirror.
Mm-hmm. I remember then, Luke Cavell.
Yeah, he then backed it up with grab a mirror, Bruce McAvaney. Could that old flog say gee and isn't he or four anymore? Hashtag grab a mirror, Chad Punters Club.
It's like an old Batman episode.
You're a clubhouse leader at this stage, son.
Doing well.
At Billy Blogs wrote, grab a mirror, the bunker. It's turning fans away from the game. And I couldn't agree more, Sid.
Yeah.
I mean, it is turning fans away from the game. So grab a mirror, the bunker. At Defensive Centre wrote, grab a mirror, commentators, for incessantly saying the bunker turns fans away. Oh, this is awkward.
Hang on.
At Thundertown wrote, I don't think we need to ask for grab a mirror nominations this week. Surely the winner is Kitty Chiller.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute. Galpo. Galpo got his name off a police registers list this week and then wrote, grab a mirror, the Australian Olympic team athletes. Just behave for 2 weeks, you spoilt brats. I mean, I'd be a hypocrite.
Oh, not in Brazil.
Yeah, please.
Get Come on.
As much as you can. Lines, everything. The Prophet at Claudster69 wrote, grab a mirror, Olympians, for getting drunk and robbed at Rio. Let's thank the Lord Robert Allenby wasn't selected.
I've got more to say about that in a minute.
Hashtag can drink. How would Allenby and Chiller go? What a team they'd be. Sid, if we're on the Allenby bandwagon, jump on board and give
well,
us
last what week, you last week, I grabbed a mirror and handed it to Robert Allenby. But he's getting another one this week because he's...
A repeat offender.
Yeah. He's excelled at dickheadedness yet again. So he gets another run. Someone alerted me to the fact that there was a Twitter war raging that Robert Longneck Allenby was having with Aaron Price. Do you know who Aaron Price is?
Nah.
Well, for those of you who don't know who Aaron Price is, he's an Australian pro golfer.
The price is wrong.
And he compared Robert Allenby with Ryan Lochte for Allenby's bullshit story about being robbed and bashed and whatnot. Allenby was obviously on the goon and on his phone and didn't like the comparison and replied not only to Aaron Price, but to every troll that also jumped on straight after. And it made fantastic viewing.
Now, I believe you've got a screenshot of this, which is quite rare because these weren't on the internet for very long before people were
Most of these tweets have been deleted, but...
what do you got for us, Sid?
I like to think of myself as the new Buzz Rothfield, a super sports journalist.
Down at Tomatoes.
I took screenshots as this happened. So, Robert Allenby replied to Aaron Price, "Well, I'm just really saying that you're a nobody, trying to be somebody. So go find a real life." It's pretty cutting from Allenby.
Wow. Jeez, takes one to know one. That's almost like that, isn't it?
To which Aaron Price replied, "I like how you evaluate people because they've won something." To which Allenby replied, "What have you won?" And Aaron Price won the internet this day. He said, "I won the Kurila Junior Club Champions. Get that up, ya."
So strong, but to be fair to Aaron, it was a strong field that day.
It was a strong field in trying conditions. The pins, terrible pin placement.
Placed at the back.
Yeah. But then every troll jumped on then. So
Wasn't this the first time Allenby had been on Twitter for about 12 months?
I don't know.
That's the story going around.
I don't think he'll be jumping on anytime soon because he made a complete cock of himself. So Sean D at Dunny 11 jumped on and started bagging him. So Robert Allenby replied to Sean D, "How's it living with your mummy still?" And Sean D replied, "You'll probably be living in your mother's basement soon when your wife leaves you for being a piss wreck." So I think it was a tie who won the internet that day. But anyway, there was heaps more of it. There were people bagging him about all sorts of things and saying your kids are embarrassed by you. It was great. It was great viewing. So congratulations, multiple grab a winner wanker, Robert Longneck Allenby.
All right, we head off into some more of work from the creditors. And Milram361 wrote, "An early or late grab a mirror, the Australian cricket team playing Sri Lanka. Select players that can't play spin, hashtag dolt." I couldn't agree more. Mate, they have got off lightly because of the way we've been travelling in the Olympics.
The less said about the Australian cricket team, the better.
Joe Davola, 76, one of my favourite tweeters, wrote, "Grab a mirror, Dragons fans. Pack of whingers. It's only been 6 years since the title and made finals last year. Be thankful you're not Shark fans." Luke J.H., who is a Dragons fan and likes to tell it as it is.
Yep.
But he wrote, "The more chili pokey at my local. It's just been a real... Harold Hunt, Carmichael Hunt these days." And then Ryan T. Jansen backed one up with Lochte is grabbing one to blur his fake robbery in a tide of white snow. Sid, you're a South African expert. What's that about?
Mate, I didn't see any snow. It's quite warm when I was there.
Does it snow in South America? Quite a lot, I heard.
Yeah, not that I saw.
Yeah, Ryan T. Jansen then backed it up with another one. Byron Bay Sarah Connor, who killed a cop in Bali, just blame it on the Terminator.
Yeah. There's a reason why she killed that copper. She was sent back in time to do it.
All right. We've also... Well, let me have a crack here.
I'm have a
do
crack.
A real quick ones here from Rio. Grab a mirror. Rio special from me. First of all, grab a mirror. Bronte and Coogee Campbell, Sid.
Hang on. Someone pulled me up this week. It's not Bronte and Coogee.
Oh.
It's Bronte and Malabar, I believe. Malabar's where the sewage outlet is, and she stank at the Olympics. Bronte and Malabar.
Well, grab a mirror. Mitch and Emily Seabomb penciled in for gold before the games. Grab a mirror. I mean, Seabomb. The only Seabombs we like here are the ones Normie drops. Grab a mirror. Michelle Jenicky, who, quote, after she didn't even qualify for the semis, wrote, "I should have just run faster and I didn't. Well, thanks very much, Scoop."
Well, somebody from the Olympic team, some assistant chef de mission, said that Jenicky turned up at the Olympics not looking fit. I've seen some photos of Jenicky. Do yourself a favour, Google it. She looks pretty fit to me.
Oh, wow. Tough judges, whoever
I know.
Whoever ripped that
idiot.
One. Yeah, maybe she should stop drinking Coke, stop doing that stupid dance, actually.
Mate, everything she's doing is just fine with me.
Grab a mirror anyway. Maybe get the makeup right with the mirror. The Kookaburras and Hockey Roos, grab a mirror, serial pests. The Boomers and then the Opals, grab a mirror, all yeah. hope, nothing else.
Yep.
The BMX kiddies, stop crashing and grab a mirror. Now, every weightlifter since Dean Lucan, go and grab a mirror.
Dean Lucan. What about his fall from grace too?
Now, I want to get onto a special one here.
Okay.
Jared Port's dad.
What?
Jared Port is the men's 10-kilometre marathon swimmer.
Of course. Right? Yeah. Now, oh, yeah. Oh, you said Jared Port.
Port. Jared Port.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Never heard of him.
Well, funnily enough, at the 9-kilometre mark, he was 200 metres in front of the nearest competitor.
Yeah.
Ran 20th, Sid.
Hey! How did that happen?
I don't know, but Gary Port, who sounds like Gary Gallen, Gary Port, who was Jared's dad, said on his son's performance, it was all heart and balls, although I may fear he might have gravel rash on these nuts. Gaz, grab a mirror, son. You're better than that.
I heard that Jared Port tweeted out later that it was all rigged, but Gary Port took the blame for it.
And finally, in this quick rapid-fire Rio special, Australian decathlete Cedric Dubler, grab a mirror.
Well, Sid, the best name in the Olympics since Misty Hyman.
He almost, and I quote this, he almost killed a cameraman with a wayward javelin throw.
I saw this. How good was this?
Dubler was competing in the second last of his 10-leg event at the decathlon when his second javelin throw went hard left and only 15 metres towards a cameraman. Now, Cedric, grab a mirror, son, and maybe attach it to your shoulders and throw the spear in the opposite direction. You won't go any worse than what you did.
Good old Cedric.
Others from this week. Grab a mirror from Where's My Effing Latte? Well, grab a mirror, the Chinese women's diving gold medalist Shiting Mao. No wonder the diving pool changed colour. Shiting Mao. Shiting Mao. Hashtag, I'd still give her one. Oh, that's the stuff I like. The Glass Canoe, who wrote Paul McGregor for making Fingers Ferguson look like a superstar next to Josh Dugan. One Fuck All also wrote Paul McGregor. Anyone who thinks P. McGregor is an NRL standard coach, grab a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
MP6868 wrote Kitty Chiller for punishing athletes chasing some wall in Rio. Hashtag just want to get laid. Ain't that the truth? One-Eyed Tiger, one of the leadership group of the creditors, wrote, anyone asking California or Hawaii college players about Jared fucking Hain, no one cares. Fat, Hairy, Lazy, Sid.
Oh, fat. Fat.
What do you reckon Normie is right now? He'd be all of the above.
Yeah.
He wrote, Buzz Rothfield should grab a mirror. He's gone but not forgotten. Forgotten. Hashtag piece of shit.
Mm.
Wow. Rusty A. Welsh wrote, grab a mirror, competitors in the 50-kilometre walk at the Olympics. You look like constipated peacocks. Fair call. Adam Logan at Ben Pugsley wrote, grab a mirror, barbed wire, shit stuff. Who thought it was a good idea? Hashtag grab a mirror.
See, this is what I like about grab a mirror. People are just sitting there like, you know what? That really pissed me off. We had one person say dog shit one week. Just anything that annoys them, get on Twitter. Hashtag grab a mirror.
Where do you reckon Ben Pugsley's having his issues with barbed wire?
Silver water?
I'm tipping he jumped some fences late at night, probably snow dropping.
Not silver water. Prison.
Benny doubled up. I think that's razor wire out at silver water. Mm. Benny Pugsley then doubled up with, can Ray Hadley just be an automatic every week for grab a mirror? You're a Muppet.
Yeah, it goes without saying, yeah. That one.
Here we go. This one, you won't like this one. At Scott Cragg wrote, the West Tigers grab a mirror. You're a chance to make the top eight and dish up that shit on Friday night.
I actually liked that tweet. I did on Twitter. I don't normally like all the grabber mirrors because there's too many of them. 100% true, whoever you were.
Hannah McArdle wrote China for not managing to finishing above Great Britain in the medal tally. Milram wrote John Coates blaming everyone but himself for a poor Rio Olympics. 26 years in the trough, man up.
Yeah, can't be his fault.
Hashtag poser.
He's earning good coin.
Wattenswolf 71 wrote Wallabies. I mean, yeah, there's another team that got off lightly because they were going to the Olympics. Luckily for them, there's two more of those shit games to go where they're going to get smashed.
Jeez, when are they on? Can't wait for that.
Rob,
I'll be watching how to look good naked again.
Rob, straight after Embarrassing Bodies.
When's here come the Habibs back on?
Embarrassing Bodies actually said grab a mirror. The City of Brisbane, Rob Musgrove wrote, for creaming their jeans because a superhero movie is being filmed there. And if superhero movies are anything to go by, this will be another flop. Superman versus Batman. All right, do we want to finish it there? Shalando Fantastic wrote Dragons for taking this long to pull Reigns' contract and drop Benji. Very true.
Mm-hmm.
AM24199. Actually, scrap that one as well. That'll do us. Beer Boy, our favourite, wrote Robert Allenby and actually put Robert Allenby in the tweet, which we like that.
I love Beer Boy.
For thinking getting paid to hit a rock with a stick makes him better than anyone else.
Hear, hear.
He also gave us full credit to the boys for later on. All right. Beer Boy.
We all want you to go
grab a mirror.
We're all hoping that you'll change your way.
Oh, it's been one of those shows.
It is one of those shows. I just thought I could play this song again just to build up your last Grab a Mirror.
Well, because I've got mine and then I've got the best Grab a Mirror from the week.
Oh, good, good.
It comes from Facebook. But my last Grab a Mirror goes to Japanese pole vaulter Hiroki Ajita.
See, oh, yeah, Hiroki.
Do you know who he is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who's he?
Pole vaulter from Japan.
Well, Hiroki became an internet sensation when he's half a mongrel was captured knocking the bar off in the heats of the men's pole vault at the Olympics. Did you see it now, Sid? Is it ringing bells?
It does ring a bell. I saw a tweet about this.
All right. So he knocked off the pole with his half mongrel in the men's pole vault.
Yeah.
The men's pole vault, Sid. Pretty sure half mongrels aren't knocking off many poles in the women's pole vault. But anyway, maybe the Russians are. We move on. Now, Sid.
Yes.
Half a mongrel.
Yes.
In the pole vault.
Yes.
If ever there was a time to use the Fosbury flop.
The what?
It's after this incident, surely.
I understand. You know, in the background, Jenicky was there.
Oh, right.
As he was running in.
So you had half a mongrel.
Yeah.
I don't know what they reckon this show is really targeted towards men. I don't know why the women wouldn't listen to this. But my favourite Grab a Mirror this week comes from Dave Crellin on Facebook. And he wrote, Grab a Mirror Me. That's himself.
Uh-huh.
Every time someone asks me where there's a game of footy being played lately, I'm saying, at the foot of the mountains, or Marathon Sex Stadium, or Gee, It's Cold Stadium. I'm starting to get the names of the stadiums, for fuck's sake. So, Dave, right now, you win Grab a Mirror for the week.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
And as we head out of Grab a Mirror, we head into the round 25 preview of the NRL, and we start on Thursday night, or as someone's written here, Thursday. Bulldogs take on the Cowboys out at Tabouli Stadium for the Robert Ralph Shield. Sid, surely Bulldogs can't win this. They are in dire form.
Yeah, not even at Halal Stadium are they going to win. Cowboys will win on Thursday.
They haven't got a very good... haven't got very good form out at Lakemba Mosque in the recent times. So I'm going to take the Cowboys quite easily.
Yep.
Friday night, the Storm faced the Broncos at Rondre Kotut in the Clifford Manua Medal.
Oh, yeah.
Who do you like in the Clifford Manua Medal?
The Storm.
What is your best memories of Clifford Manure?
Oh, there's so many. Oh, Cliffy. One. Cliffy, we used to call him. He used to come to me gigs.
We used to call him Cow Manure. But yeah, anyway...
If anything, he was a bit of a pest. He followed me around all the time.
I think... I'm going to go for the upset there and say the Broncos will win that.
Yeah.
The Seagulls host Ricky's Raiders at Hansy Cronje Oval in the Luke Williamson Laurel. Mm-hmm. Sid, who do you like in the Luke Williamson Laurel?
Well, I've got a bit of an apology to make. I put creditor Hannah McArdle on the Knights fan last week or the week before.
Mm.
She's actually a Manly fan. I apologise, Hannah.
So we don't feel sorry for her, we just hate her?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, I apologise. So, Eagles versus Raiders, the Raiders will win.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Raiders quite easily. The Titans take on the Panthers at the bus stop in the Luke Swain Shield. Sid, the Titans, Raiders, Panthers, who do you like?
I like the Titans.
I'm going to take the Panthers. The Sharks play the Cox.
It's better for the Titans to win, isn't it, than the Panthers for the... Tigers' sake?
Mathematically.
Yeah, mathematically. Don't we want the Titans to win? I may have actually have that mixed up.
I'd rather be put to sleep if I'm honest at this stage of the year. And Sharks take on the Cox at Bogan Tat Stadium in the Danny Nutley plate. Who do you like in the Danny Nutley plate?
You know who I like?
Who?
The Cox.
You like the Cox?
Yeah. They're looking good, the Cox. I don't know where it's come from.
It's Christmas time.
It's Christmas time.
Normie, if you're listening... Four in a row, champion. We're going to go for the Cox in that game. Sunday, the Warriors host the pride of the league, the West Tigers, at not-so-smart stadium in the Jeremiah Pye plate. Mm-hmm. Who do you like in the Jeremiah Pye plate?
The West Tigers will win comfortably over there.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm going to say the Warriors. The Bunnies travel up to Marathon Sex Stadium to take on the Bye in the Todd Polglase Trophy.
Yeah, the Bunnies will beat the Bye.
Yeah, I think so too. And on Monday night, the Eels play the Dragons at Brown Paper Bag Oval in the Daniel Wagon Wheel.
I like it.
Who do you like in the Daniel Wagon Wheel?
Well, now Benji's out. the Dragons will win. They're going to win. They're going to beat the Eels.
Actually, you know what? They might win that
game. Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll do us for that one. And we hit this.
Listen to this bloke, Sid Punt.
Sid, the Sid's Rough Punt.
Very popular segment, this.
Sid's Rough Punt from last week. How did you go? I believe you hit an all-time low last week.
No, if anything, I hit an all-time high.
Go on.
Well, I picked one of the West Tigers players to score first and Wests to win. Yeah. Obviously, that didn't get up.
No. Who did you pick for the try scorer?
But see, I had it in a double. I bet on both legs. So I put Kevin Proctor as first try scorer for Melbourne.
How did he go?
Well, I was promptly told by 1,000 Twitter followers that he's out injured. But that doesn't matter because I got cash back. So if anything, it feels like a win.
In the current form, that is a
win.
Yep,
that's a win.
And what day this week will you post the big bet?
It will be on Friday. I've got internet now. I've moved house. I didn't have internet. I didn't know Proctor was out, even though that was my best part of the Sid's Rough Punt. So stay tuned on Friday, all three of you.
Roll the sack, open the sack, empty the sack.
We're going to win.
The boy is sad.
Actually, knowing our fans and knowing your bet, it is Dole Week, so I think a couple of them will have a couple of dollars to rub together. So don't give up, guys.
Don't give up. It's coming.
All right, full credit to the boys this week. Have we heard any from this week? I think Beer Boy sent us one.
He did send us one.
One of our favourite tweeters, and Beer Boy sent us this one. Full credit to the Boomers, the way in which they're... Well, there you go. Andrew Gay is one of the world's least biased commentators.
100%.
Yeah, with full credit to the Boomers. We know what he meant. Sid.
Yes.
Five-star review time. We've got three here to go with. First of all, there's one from Dallas Donnelly's biggest fan.
I remember Dallas Donnelly.
See also Sid's mum, who wrote, first-time reviewer, long-time listener, these boys put in 100% effort for the full 80 minutes. I take it one podcast at a time.
I don't put in any effort for any minute. But apart from that, thank you.
Especially to Sid's punt. The Milroys wrote, The Dead Dogs of Rio. This episode was so good, I listened to it twice. Classic Jeopardy. Can't normally see number three. Keep it up. Absolutely the best potty and the best thing about Wednesdays. Cheers. We listened to that so much that we released last week's podcast on Tuesday just to completely screw with him. And then finally from NinnyB22, who wrote, this podcast should come with a warning. Do not, I repeat, do not listen whilst consuming hot beverages. Seriously funny. Currently in the burns unit after wearing boiling hot coffee. Just another reason to drink ice cold beer. We don't need reasons, but fair enough. And we thank you very much.
I will take that on board, and I will drink ice cold beer.
We thank you for the five-star reviews. If you haven't done it, feel free to do it. It helps us. Also helping us is if you click subscribe, special podcasts that come out, you will get straight in your inbox. Is that
yes,
what it is?
Yes, yeah, that'll do.
Whatever. And it also helps us in the iTunes rankings, apparently. We don't know, to be honest. Finally, Sid, we thank the late mailman for helping out, filling in.
Thank you very much.
Thank him for his very dodgy story, which is going to take a little bit
to
clean up.
I'm going to have to edit that. And it was a bit of a dodgy line. We apologize in advance.
Yeah, late mailman persevered. It was a tough gig. Sid's just moved house. He's now at this soup kitchen. Yeah. I can't believe you've been allowed to take your laptop over here.
Well, I spent all my money on strippers.
Yeah, well, I mean, how you kept this laptop's amazing. Thank you for listening. We will be back next week with the return of one N. Durrell. Anything to add before we go and play the poker machines?
Nah, let's go down the pub.
Let's go play hot chili.
Let's
go.
Ta-da. I got a lot, but I ain't got all night. Let's get it started, it'll be alright. Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action? Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action? Know what you're doing with me.